Okay, well, I am Sharon and I am a compulsive overeater and a sugar addict. And I want to say first off, right off the bat, that my story may not be your story, okay? Because my story is that of a sugar addict. I am not a volume eater. I am not a grazer. I am a sugar addict, capital S, capital A. And if that's not your story, you can sit back, relax, and just listen to the details for fun. If it is your story, you can sit back and relax and listen to the details, and maybe I hope hear something that helps you. So I started out as a child as being a sugar junkie, but it didn't affect my weight because I was very, very active. We had a swimming pool in my backyard, and I was always outside with my friends. And so I was didn't do not have the history of being a fat child. I didn't start gaining weight until I was into high school. And looking at pictures of me in high school, I thought I was fat then, and I really wasn't. I just thought I was. But I felt fat. Sugar has always been really, really, really important to me. I remember when I got my allowance at home, I used to take that 50 cents. And I would take it and I would ride down to the nearest liquor store and I would buy a box of Reese's peanut butter cups and large soda and go to a park with a friend of mine and I would eat the entire box and drink the entire soda. And back then there were 40 in a box. I don't know what they don't sell them in boxes anymore, I don't believe, but there were 40 in a box, and I would eat them all. And that was my idea of a good time. As a matter of fact, as far back as before my first child was born, if you ask me what my idea of a good time is, I would say a good book, a big bag of Reese's peanut butter cups, and a half gallon of milk. And that was my idea of a good time. I came to Overeaters Anonymous the first time in 1977. I was had just had my first child and had was finding it difficult to lose my baby weight. Looking back on it now, I didn't weigh that much in context to what I would weigh before it all was said and done. But I thought that I was enormously fat and I was desperate. And so I went to my first OA meeting. And one of the first things I heard was get a sponsor. So I did that. I found someone who said they were a sponsor. And I asked them at my first meeting if they would sponsor me. And they said yes. And they gave me their phone number. And they said, call me tomorrow morning. And they handed me a food plan. Which if you've been around long enough, you recognize as Gray Sheet. They handed me a food plan and she said, call me tomorrow morning at 6:30. And I said, okay. So I looked at the food plan and I called her at 6:30 in the morning and she says, oh, one thing I forgot to mention is you've got to quit eating sugar and white flour. And I just laughed. And I said, I can't do that. And she says, yeah, you can. And I said, no, really, you don't understand. Maybe you can, but I cannot. I haven't had a day without sugar since I was 7 years old. I cannot go a day without sugar. And she said, you can. She said, get your food together and, you know, and you can have a day without sugar. Just one day. Tell yourself it's just for this one day. And so I did what she said. I got all my food together and I was a teacher and I locked myself in my classroom. I didn't trust myself to go out of my classroom except to go to the bathroom. And because I knew what was out there, I knew what was in the teacher's lounge, I knew what was in the office and it was goodies. I managed to get through that first day with sugar and trust me, nobody without sugar, and trust me, nobody was more surprised than I was. And so I called my sponsor the next morning and I said, I did it, I did it. I got through a day without sugar. And she said, good, now do it again. And I said, really? I have to do it again? And she said, yes. He says the basis, one of the bases for this food plan is that you have to stay off flour and white flour and sugar. So I did. And I did it again. And I did it by locking myself in my classroom for about 3 weeks. I didn't go near the teacher's lounge. I just went to my office, the office to my box, and back to my classroom. And I managed to get through 3 weeks. And by that time, the worst of the sugar cravings were gone. And I was able to be around sweets, although it was difficult. And I, would go in the lounge, see what was there, and turn around and walk out. And but I could eat my lunch in the lounge. And so that was how I started my first abstinence. And we didn't have any literature back then, and I don't remember the sponsor emphasizing the big book or any other literature. We did go over the 12 steps, and I did, do, and I give it parentheses because do was, I don't remember what I did, so it could not have been too impactful. We did the 12 steps, and I managed to lose weight. And as I said at the beginning, I'm not a volume eater and I'm not a grazer. So for me, once I got off the sugar, losing weight was easy. And on the blue gray sheet, I managed to lose quite a bit of weight quite easily. And I got down to a fairly decent weight. And I thought, well, this was really easy. And I had always wanted to be really, really thin. So I thought, I'm going to lose 5 more pounds. So I just continued to eat gray sheet. And I lost the 5 more pounds. And then I thought, well, that was so easy. I wanted to lose 5 more pounds. And if any of you out there have an anorexic bent, you recognize that saying because that is how we anorexics get down to 88 pounds. And I got down to 88 pounds. And people were telling me I was too thin and that I was anorexic. And I kept saying, no, I'm not too thin. I just need to lose 5 more pounds and get rid of this little baby pouch that I've got here. And, I'm sorry, I lost my train of thought. I'll get rid of this baby pouch down here. And I wasn't having periods. I wasn't menstruating. I was passing out in my kitchen, but I was still eating gray sheet down to 88 pounds. And I was still eating gray sheet. And, finally I broke that abstinence and I gained back some weight. And got up to what was probably a reasonable weight for me, but I couldn't hang on to that. And I gained weight because I got into the sugar. After that follows a long line of yo-yo dieting. I was in and out of program, mostly out. I was in and out of program for the next 40 years. And I had in my closet those great big tubs that you can put clothes in, and I had them in size 4 to size 18. And as I would gain weight, I would just go up to the next tub, and as I would lose weight, I'd go down to the next tub. And I always had clothes to wear because I had clothes in every size. And I found, okay, so here's what I learned in that first stint in OA. I learned that I had a disease. I learned that my disease was an allergy to sugar and white flour, and that I could not afford to eat even a little bit of them because they caused the phenomenon of craving, and that if I had a little bit, I had to have a lot. And so throughout my eating career, I would get off the sugar and white flour because I knew that's what I had to do if I wanted to lose weight. And I would get off the sugar and white flour, and I would lose weight. I have many pictures of me at normal body weights. I also have pictures of me at some not so normal body weights. My top weight was 225 pounds, and I got there eating sugar. I had quite an adventurous life. Oh, is there a timer somewhere?
I'm timing. I'm timing.
How
You
much
have
time
about
do I have?
About 12 minutes.
Okay, thank you. Okay. I had quite an adventurous life. I lost three brothers to suicide. I had a very, very ugly divorce with a husband that molested my 3-year-old daughter. I had 5 years in and out of mental institutions with bipolar disease. I had many exciting adventures during those years. And through them all, I either ate or I starved. I either decided that I could starve my way through this one to be thin, or that I needed to eat my way through this one, and I would eat. And I went to OA off and on. I would go for 3 or 4 meetings, and then I knew what was required. See, I knew what I had to do. I had to get off the sugar, and I had to attend meetings and do the 12 steps. And so I would get desperate, and I would go to an OA meeting, and then I couldn't relate. I couldn't relate because I knew I wasn't willing to do what it took for me to get abstinent. So I went through a lot of years, and through all those years, the thing that I had in common is that no matter what my body size was, whether it was 100 pounds, and it was several times, or whether it was 225 pounds, which it was, I hated my body. I hated myself. Because if I was fat, I was too fat. If I was thin, I wasn't thin enough. If I was in the middle, I wasn't thin enough. There was no thin enough for me. And I hated myself. So I go along living my life merrily. I have my two children. My daughter had a lot of problems because of the molest, and I dealt with her a lot. She was in therapy until she was 13, and her behavior was atrocious. And but I dealt with all of that. My children were grown. I was living on my own. And my son and daughter-in-law both got arrested for doing drugs. And I suddenly had the care of my 3-year-old grandson. Now, said 3-year-old grandson was not just 3 years old, for because he was, and that he was 3 years old, but he also, I came to find out, was on the spectrum. Had ADHD and learning disabilities. And mommy and daddy had both just disappeared on me. To say that he was an unhappy child was to say the least. He cried all the time. I had raised two kids and I had no experience with a child that just cried over everything. Everything. I'd take him to the park and he wouldn't play with the other kids. I'd take him to ball games of his cousins and he wouldn't play with the other kids. He just sat in my lap and cried. And I didn't know what to do with him. And I didn't know what to do with me. And so I just started eating. And I ate my drug of choice, which is sugar. By the time I came to OA this time, I was eating nothing but sugar. And I mean that literally. In the mornings, I would get up and I would have a couple of big bags of Candy Kisses in my desk drawer, and I would cruise on the Candy Kisses throughout the morning. And then at lunchtime, I would go and I would buy a couple of those great big huge candy bars and chocolate bars, and I would buy a couple of those and a Diet Coke. Thank you very much. And a Diet Coke, and that would be my lunch. And that was very isolating because you can't take a couple of candy bars into the teacher's room as lunch and not get comments. And so I ate in my car by myself reading a book. And I grew more and more miserable and fatter and fatter and fatter. And I was closing in on 180 pounds again when I decided that I had to do something and I came back to OA. I came back to OA and I got a sponsor And it took me a couple of months to get abstinent with that sponsor, but we finally, my, well, part of the problem was I didn't like taking direction very well. She gave me that pamphlet, the Dignity of Choice, and said, now choose one of these food plans and we'll tell me which one you want to be on. And the next morning when I had, when she answered the phone, I said, well, I can tell you one thing. I said, no way I'm eating all that fucking food. Because I still had that anorexic head. I wanted the least amount of food that I could get by with so I could lose weight quickly. And so we negotiated. Bless her heart, bless her soul. She worked with me when I would have kicked me to the curb many, many, many times. I was a whiner. Well, I don't cook. Well, I don't eat meat. Well, I don't do this and I don't do that and I don't like this and I don't like that. And she was so patient. She would say, well, have you tried da, 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 da. And I go, well, I guess I could try that. And some of it worked. And eventually we found a food plan that I could stay on. And I lost my weight. And I got down to a goal weight and I stayed there. And I kept going to meetings. I stayed there at that weight for 13 years. And then I heard someone pitch in a meeting, and this is very recent for me. I heard someone pitch in a meeting that they had taken sugar back into their food plan and hadn't been successful at it. And of course, my head took that and ran with it. Why can't I do that? If he can do that, I bet I could do that. And so I started taking sugar back into my diet. And then I ended up actually breaking my abstinence and gaining weight. And the thing that I'll tell you about that is this is an insidious disease. It is horrible. I am still not abstinent today. And it's all sugar. It's all sugar. I don't binge on carrots or sirloin steak or hamburgers or French fries or any of those things. For me, it's all about the sugar. And to this day, I'm trying to get off. The way I'm trying to get off is I'm trying to go one day at a time. I'm trying to pray. I'm making a lot of phone calls. I'm taking phone calls. Bless the people who stay on the phone with me, who when I want to go eat and they stay on the phone with me until it's too late. I have lots and lots and lots of support, and it just hasn't happened again yet, but I know that it will. Right now, I go to from 3 to 5 meetings a week, and I have a sponsor, and I gave Carla the chance to not have me as her sponsor, and she chose to let me continue sponsoring her while I go work through this time of not being abstinent. But it's really, really hard. If you are abstinent, what I have to say to you is stay that way. Do not go out and experiment. It's not worth it. This has been a really hard, it's only been about a month. And it's really, really hard. It's really hard getting off the sugar. My body craves it. My mind craves it. Recently, I had a week of abstinence, and my mind just took off and said, you need XYZ. And I listened to it. And there was nothing anybody could have said to me to stop me because I had decided that I wanted it. And that I need supernatural help to create, to conquer that. I need my higher powers help, and I know it. And I'm hoping to be abstinent again tomorrow. And I don't know how much time I have left, but pretty much that's my story. And I appreciate your listening. I told Carla, I don't know if they want to hear from me. I'm not abstinent. And she said, no, they're not fussy about that. So I hope that's true. But as one sugar addict to another, I can tell you that It is an addiction. I am as hooked on sugar as any heroin addict that ever was hooked on heroin. And that's all I've got to say. Thank you for letting me share.